السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. It is the program with Sheikh Sajid Omar every Friday afternoon between 2 and 3 Southern African time. The topic of discussion, الرؤية وما يتعلق بها, vision in a dream and matters relating to it from the book known as Riyad al-Salihin. We have Sheikh Sajid with us on the line. Sheikh Sajid, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hayyak Allah.
كيف حالك Sheikh Sajid? How are you keeping?
Allahumma laka alhamd, I'm keeping well. And how are you doing over there?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We hope that you're remembering us in your dua. It's a bit of a difficult patch at the moment with no rain here in South Africa.
And Allah, I've heard about it. Wallahi, I have heard even about the Victoria Falls and how it's almost stopped flowing, subhanallah. And that would be a big thing if it stopped. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring about abundant rainfall, and definitely the Muslims need to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and look at their ways pay the zakah. Really sincerely ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower upon the ummah mercy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring abundant rainfall. Ameen.
Ameen, ameen, inshaAllah, inshaAllah. So Sajid, the program for today, we went through the hadith last week. InshaAllah we can dive straight into the discussion today, inshaAllah.
Jazakallahu khairan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah was salatu was salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, we covered walillahi alhamd all the narrations of chapter 130 related to dreams, and we started our discussion about it, and we said that we can gather from the different narrations that dreams are of three types. We have divine dreams, and they can either be true or they could just be good. You know, divine dreams, they give you a good feeling. They may come true, they may not come true, and but as long as you know you have that good feeling about them, then in general this is a divine dream. Sometimes we do have a dream which is disturbing, is confusing. It doesn't scare us, but it is confusing. This dream could become true, and that would be a divine dream, just like we have in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, when the king saw the seven healthy cows being devoured by seven weak cows, and seven healthy corns of crop being devoured by seven wilty stems of crop. So it wasn't a scary dream, but it was a very confusing dream. And it was a dream that became true. And as we said last week, that this shows us that even non-Muslims can see true dreams. So this is a possibility. Although in general, the more true dreams you see, then this is a sign of good character. And inshallah, we'll come to that, even though we did touch on it in our last session. But yes, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for a greater purpose and benefit, can make a non-Muslim see a true dream, which would be a divine dream. Then we have satanic dreams, those dreams which make you scared. And then we have human dreams or human cognitive thoughts. Last week we began the discussion on divine dreams, and we said that they were a form of revelation, because we know that the prophets, or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in particular, 6 months before prophethood, he wouldn't see anything in his dream except that it would become true, and he would see it clearly the next day. Right, and also we know from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed him instruction via a dream. He saw this dream, a recurring dream, and then he understood that this was a message or instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why some of the scholars say the 8th of Dhul Hijjah is known as Yawm al-Tarwiyah. The common description is because Tarwiyah refers to preparation involving water, whereby you get your animals to drink and you fill up your water skins so that you have enough water for wudu and for drinking and for cooking throughout the days of Hajj. So the 8th was a day of preparation. That's why it's called Yawm al-Tarwiyah. But there's another description by some of the fuqaha, which states that Yawm al-Tarwiyah is again from Rawwa Yurawi Tarwiyatan, which is to contemplate something, a recurring contemplation. to ponder over it and play it back and play it forward and play it back and play it forward. So they say Ibrahim alayhi salam did this on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, because it was a recurring dream, so he in a recurring way contemplated it. And then Yawm Arafah, they say is the day when he knew what was expected of him, that this was an instruction towards putting a knife to the neck of his son. And that's why Arafah is called Arafah, لأنه عرفه, right? So Arafah is from Arafa, and a word which comes from this particular three letters carries the meaning of knowing something or understanding something, knowing something in general. And on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, Ibrahim alayhi salam knew what was expected of him. So that's why it was called Yawm Arafah. And then the 10th was known as Yawm Nahr, because on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, he attempted the Nahr, or he attempted to carry out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is an explanation. But coming to the point that we were discussing, that dreams can happen as a means of revelation. And as is in the case of Ibrahim alayhi salam and in the case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also said, just capping up our discussion, that true dreams are a gift from Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is a narration in Sahih al-Bukhari, in the narration of Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu, he says that true dreams are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also in Sahih al-Bukhari, there's another narration by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which says that when the day of resurrection approaches, the dreams of a believer will hardly fail to come true. So today we see many dreams of people coming true. They see a dream and it comes true. And this is from this is from the signs of Qiyamah, as we find in this hadith. It's the sign of the coming of the hour, right? So a believer's dream hardly fails to come true. They see it and it comes true. So this is from one of the minor signs of the day of Qiyamah approaching. And also in Sahih Muslim, we have another hadith by Abu Hurairah again, radiallahu anhu, and he says, those of you with the truest dreams will be those with the most truthful in speech, or will be those who are most truthful in speech. And this teaches us that true dreams have a correlation to our character, right? Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills for a greater reason, he makes an un-Muslim see a true dream, as we find in the story of the king, in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. He wasn't a Muslim, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a true dream. And obviously a person who doesn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or associates partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is the person who is the least truest in speech, because to associate partners with Allah, then this is a great lie. Right? Mm. So, but as a general rule, the people who are truest in speech and have a greater character, they are most likely to see a true dream, as we find in this hadith in Sahih Muslim. Now, can a true dream be shared by several people? This is something that some people do ask. They say, can, you know, there's so many people that have seen the same dream, can it be true? Well, in answer to that question is yes. Right, because we have some narrations during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in had similar dreams, or the same dream, or a group of them dreamt the same thing, and they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, in the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he narrates that the companion saw that the night of power for that year would be in the last seven nights of Ramadan. So they told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said that indeed your dreams have matched, right? They've matched. So search for the night during the last seven nights of Ramadan. Now, again, last week we touched on this point that, look, you know, interpreting dreams is not a fixed science. Allah gives different people different ability. They recognize different symbols in different ways. I shared examples with you, like in the story of Ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, he interpreted the same dream two different ways. So one person saw a dream, he interpreted one way, and that the person will go for Hajj. Another person saw the same dream and he said, you will steal and go to prison. Right? So, and the scholars deduce from this that the best interpretations of dreams are when The person who saw the dream is in front of the person who's interpreting. Not like what we see today. You know, there's a TV channel, and then you get the, some satellite stations run this Muslim satellite station, so you have a channel, and the person who can interpret dreams comes on, and then the person receives phone calls, and based on these phone calls, he interprets the dreams. I'm not saying it's impossible. There is a success rate in terms of the interpretations, but no doubt the most effective translations are when the person is in front of you, because even the person being in front of you plays a part in terms of your inspiration to understand the symbols in the dream. And as I said, dreams are all about symbols. Many of us try and equate it to, you know, things we know, things we don't know, right? Like, for example, when the person told Ibn Sirin, I saw myself doing the adhan, by default, the person must have thought that this is something very good, right? But Ibn Sirin said, you're going to steal and go to prison. Right, so that's why we must understand that when we see dreams, we shouldn't just go ahead and try and understand it in our own way. Like, for example, some dream interpreters have interpreted people who are clothless doing tawaf as them being sinless, right? As a sign of them being forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, somebody might feel concerned that I saw myself doing tawaf clothless, and this is how the people of Jahiliyyah did the tawaf, so this must mean, you know, that there's something bad, and we become overly concerned, and it affects our day and our night, and so on and so forth. So the general message is, don't try and interpret your own dreams. If you find someone reputable, and there's you feel the need to interpret your dream, then bismillah, go ahead. And get it interpreted, as long as it's a good dream. Because when it's a bad dream, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us not to get those dreams interpreted. So alhamdulillah, we've explained this, that the, you know, dream interpreters, they look at symbols. It's not an exact science, and that is why the scholars have said that a dream interpreter should not take money for interpreting dreams, because it goes against the general rulings pertaining to trade. And also, this is why we find some of these dream interpreters, they come on TV, and basically what happens is the call to the channel is more expensive than your normal call, right? So they have a deal with the telephone company. So if you're paying, for example, 5 rand for the call normally, now you're paying 20 rand. Right, and then the TV station gets money, the telephone company gets money, and the dream interpreter gets money. And subhanAllah, some dream interpreters have earned in hundreds of thousands in just an hour of being on the channel. So this is something the scholars warn against. I'm just putting this in here because obviously our discussion is dream related. Now, with regards to good and pleasant dreams, then Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu an, he says that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, if any one of you has a dream that he likes, then it is from Allah, and he should thank Allah for it, and he should not narrate it to others except those who are trustworthy. And then we get this understanding from the collective advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is not necessarily a true dream, but it's a good dream. And this is the first etiquette when you see a dream that makes you pleased and makes you happy, that you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because as we see from this hadith, right, it's a gift from Allah. And as we discussed last week in another narration, that nothing is left of prophethood except mubashirat. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that nothing is left of prophethood except mubashirat. So the Sahaba asked him and said, what is mubashirat? He said, a good dream, right? So it's a type of communication between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his slave. So it's a gift from Allah. But as we also said last week, that you cannot receive any new instruction in the Sharia via a dream. Meaning, you can't see in a dream that now you need to make Salat al-Maghrib 4 rak'ah. And you say, well, this is a communication from Allah Almighty, so via my dreams. No, this is incorrect, because the deen is complete as Allah said. And in terms of religious instruction, then dreams were a revelation only for prophets. And there's no prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So be careful. If you see this in a dream, then it's from shaytan. Right? Because a good dream will not entail spoiling the shape of the Sharia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that an aspect of prophethood, or dreams, or good dreams, are an aspect of prophethood that will remain among mankind until the day of Qiyamah. And in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, there's the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. He states that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that indeed messengership or the risalah and nubuwa, which is prophethood, have ended. So indeed messengership and prophethood have ended. So there will be no messenger or prophet after me. And Anas radiallahu anhu said the people found it difficult to bear this statement. Right? To bear this statement. Because they understood from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that his time is up. Right? And obviously they were so attached to him, and the iman would flare when they were with him. And they knew that once prophethood comes to an end, then the doors of revelation are closed. So they became heavy, you know, when they heard this. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added and said, except glad tidings. So they said, O Messenger of Allah, what are glad tidings? And he said, it's the dream of a Muslim. It is one of the parts of prophethood. It's one of the parts of prophethood, meaning prophets received prophecy and revelation via dreams. This is what he meant, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In further clarification, in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that it is a good dream of a righteous person that is an aspect of prophethood. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlights the aspect of having good character and being righteous. So if a person is righteous and he sees a good dream, then this is an aspect of prophethood. But I reiterate, it doesn't mean that you will see some form of revelation that entails bringing about new acts of worship or making haram halal or making halal haram and so on and so forth. In Sahih al-Bukhari, the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a good dream of a righteous man is one of 46 parts of prophethood. Right? So again, here we see good dream and righteous man. Good dream and righteous man. Right? And then he says it's one of 46 parts of prophethood. Now, many scholars have tried to understand what does one of 46 parts of prophethood mean. And some have said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a prophet for 23 years. And if you say 23 times 12, you get 276. And he used to see true dreams 6 months before he became a prophet, right? True dreams 6 months before he became a prophet. So if you say 23 years of prophethood times 12, because there's 12 months in a year, that gives you 276 months, and then you divide 276 by 6 months of seeing dreams before revelation came, before Jibreel came, that gives you 46, right? So this is how some of the scholars have explained this hadith, that a good dream of a righteous man is one of 46 parts of prophethood. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was righteous before Jibreel came to him, and he would see good dreams, and those dreams would become true as daylight. So he explains it as being one of 46 parts of prophethood. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now, what are some principles related to good dreams? Well, firstly, as we said, good dreams are from Allah, so we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And good dreams may be shared with others, as you would share good news with other people. You know, you call someone you love, you say, subhanallah, I saw myself leading salah in my dream, or reading Quran in my dream. That's a good dream, you feel good, right? You're allowed to tell this to people as you would tell other people good news. However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I said earlier, he taught us that we should not share good dreams with everybody. We should only share it with those people who genuinely wish good for us. You know, when we succeed, they feel like they've succeeded. When we fail, they feel like they've failed, right? So it's not that you succeed and they become jealous of you. Because a Muslim must protect himself and herself from the jealousy of others. استعينوا على قضاء حوائجكم بالكتمان فإن لكل ذي نعمة من يحسده. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith that is considered marfu', meaning a hadith that is attributed to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and many of the later scholars of hadith have considered hasan and acceptable, meaning an acceptable narration. They say that he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, assist yourself in the things that you do or the things that happen to you by keeping it a secret, because whoever gets a blessing, then there is someone who is jealous of that blessing that this person has. This is a rough translation. So you don't have to start going on Facebook and on Twitter and all other social media and saying, oh, I saw this dream last night. No, you don't need to do that. In fact, we need to stop even putting the food that we eat online, the holidays that we go to online. We don't have to do all this. Unless there's a real benefit, there's no need just to advertise the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, because we don't really help ourselves. And for, in the first place, we don't help ourselves by being punctual with our azkar or the du'as or supplications of the morning and the evening. So we don't help ourselves here either, my dear brothers and sisters, right? And we know that in these azkar, there's protection. So we don't put up our fences, we don't protect ourselves, we don't put up our barriers, and then we invite people to attack us, right? Because as we've had in previous discussions in our few years together discussing Riyadh al-Salihin, we've said that it's not a requirement for the evil eye to affect a person that it comes from a jealous person. Sometimes it comes from a person who's not jealous, but they become amazed by it, forgetting that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they forget to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result, it becomes unprotected. And as a result, the evil spirits pursue it until it gets to the person that was the cause of this person being amazed. And then you become affected. So this is the sunnah of Allah. It's a universal law. This is part of life in this world. And in the same breath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us how to handle it. That we do our azkar of the morning, of the evening. We remember the azkar after our prayers. That which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to read after the prayer. And also when we see something that amazes us, we ask Allah to bless that thing for that person. Someone has a nice car, say may Allah bless that car for that person. And that's how we protect our eyes, right? And perhaps at a later stage we can dive deeper into matters pertaining to the evil eye. So this is basically from the etiquettes when you see a good dream, my dear brothers and sisters, that you thank Allah for it, and you only narrate it to those who wish good for you. Now, let's move to satanic dreams or bad dreams. Well, bad dreams happen as a consequence of evil jinn interfering with you in your dream state. And this is a general rule. Right? Sometimes you can pray your azkar and you might still have a bad dream. That's an exception for a reason that Allah knows best. But in general, when you see a bad dream, this is the jinn interfering with you in your sleep state. Abu Salama radiallahu anhu said, I used to see dreams which caused me to shiver, but I did not cover myself with a cloak. And this continued to happen until I met Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu and told him about my scary dreams. He quoted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as saying that a good dream is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a bad dream is from shaytan or the devil. So when one of you sees a dream which he does not like, he should spit on his left side 3 times and seek refuge with Allah from its evil, then it will not harm him. These are the etiquettes. If you see a bad dream and you wake up, from the etiquettes is to turn to your left and spit 3 times. Now, brothers and sisters, a word of caution. When we say spit, we mean dry spit. Right? If you married and you wet spit, then if you saw a nightmare, you haven't seen anything yet. Right? Because you wake up the person next to you by spitting on them, then you'll see a real nightmare. May Allah protect. So when the sunnah says spit, it means dry spit, meaning spit without the spittle. Right? So you dry spit 3 times, because shaytan attacks us mainly from the left, and you're spitting 3 times burns the shaytan or the devil that's attacking you, and it runs away. So we are taught to seek refuge in Allah, we are taught to turn to the left, and we are taught to dry spit 3 times. Right? In another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that from the etiquettes is to turn to the other side and sleep. So if you are facing the right, turn to the left and go to sleep. If you're facing the left, turn to the right and go to sleep. But this is an exception. The sunnah normally, like we discussed when we discussed the etiquettes of sleeping, is to sleep facing the right. Now some people say, should we face the qibla or face the right? We say, no, face the right. Because the sunnah is to face the right, as we see here from the narration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if you see a bad dream, then there's an exception. If you're facing the right, turn to the left. If somehow you ended up facing the left in your sleep, turn back to the right. And we must understand that it's from shaytan. Once a person saw his head cut off and rolling in front of him, and he ran chasing after his head. So he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is what I saw. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laughed and said, don't tell us how shaitan played with you last night in your sleep. Right? So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that further rubber stamps this fact that bad dreams are from shaitan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mujadala as well that innama an-najwa, these secret councils, conspiracies, are only from shaitan, min ash-shaytan. Why? لِيُحْزِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. He wants to put sadness in the heart of the believers. Right? But Allah says He cannot harm them in the least except if Allah permits. So in Allah, let the believers put their trust. Right? Now, what are the etiquettes if you see a bad dream? Right? Let's summarize them very quickly. Number one, understand firstly that all dreams with evil content are from shaitan and no interpretation of them should be sought. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the man, don't tell us how shaitan played with you in your sleep. Right? So don't go, you know, you became scared. Don't go and say, look, I need to now get an interpretation for this. No. Forget about it and change. Become better. Right? Become better. Become stronger against shaitan. Perhaps your salah is lacking. You know? Perhaps, you know, your character is lacking. As we said earlier, true dreams, good dreams are happen to people with good character. So fix your character. But there's nothing for you to worry that what you see in the dream is going to happen to you. Don't go get it interpreted. The next etiquette is to spit three times, as we said, to your left, without the spittle. And we covered the narrations about this. The hadith of Jabir, for example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if any one of you sees a dream, or sees in a dream something he dislikes, he should spit three times to his left and seek refuge in Allah from shaitan three times. So from the etiquette is to say, A'udhu billah, A'udhu billah, A'udhu billah, or A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim, three times. Right? And in the hadith of Jabir, the additional etiquette which we discussed, that you should turn to the other side and sleep, exists. So, number one, don't get the dream interpreted. Number two, seek refuge in Allah three times. Number three, spit three times to your left. Number four, turn the side that you are facing on. Number five, it's recommended, if you can, that you get up and pray two units of prayer. Right? Voluntary prayer. In the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which is in Sahih Muslim, he says that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that there are three types of dreams: ramblings of the mind, frightening thoughts from shaitan, and glad tidings from Allah. So if any one of you sees a dream which he does not like, he should stand up and offer the prayer. Right? So these are the etiquettes in a nutshell, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Then we have the third type of dream, and that is a dream based on mental reflections. And this is really what most of us see, right? So it's human cognitive thoughts. Because scientists have categorized sleep as quiet sleep or NREM sleep, right? Or is it none? Rapid eye movement. I recall what it stands for. So non-rapid eye movement sleep and rapid eye movement sleep, right? Or paradoxical sleep is known as rapid eye movement sleep. If my memory serves me right, when we used to study science. So scientists have categorized sleep as such. And they say that during the random or the rapid eye movement sleep, the brain is active and the eyes are moving about, and the sleeper is dreaming, right? And it's called paradoxical sleep because the brain is active as it is during wakefulness, when a person is awake. So the brain is actually experiencing a level of activity as one would actually experience when they awake. You know, when you're awake, your senses are alive, so your brain is definitely working, right? At a certain level, which you wouldn't expect it to work at when you sleep. But scientists have said that no, it actually can work at that same level if you are experiencing what they call rapid eye movement sleep. Now, the fact is that the baggage of our day, journeys with us into our night. So when we go to sleep, sometimes things of the day affect our dream state. So sometimes you're stressed about something, right? And because of that, you get to a stage of sleep whereby this thing will play itself. And I'm sure many can relate to this. Sometimes you have exams, and all of a sudden you're waking up. Sometimes you have to catch your flight. All of a sudden you're waking up 2 o'clock in the morning, and you feel like you're late for your flight. You wake up in a panic, right? Because in the dream you've seen that you've missed your flight or you're late for your exam, and then you turn around and look at the clock and subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, it's only 2 a.m. Right? We still got another 10 hours to go to the airport, for example. So sometimes you're just going through genuine stress. Right? There's, you know, it's not going well at work. Maybe your children are going through a difficulty. Maybe there's a health issue in the family. May Allah protect us all. That stress or the burden of that stress continues with us in the night. We know of people who they've had shock of an accident or something like this. What happens, or something similar, what happens is it plays back for many nights. They can't sleep, right? And they've got to see professionals who coach them out of the anxiety. Because of anxiety, they start seeing similar circumstances, different dreams that happen in different ways, different people, different environments, but the end is the same. You know, a certain shock happens in the dream and they wake up from it, panting, right? We must understand that this is from human cognitive thoughts. This is from human cognitive thoughts. It's a result of what we've done in the day or what's happening to us in the day. So there's no need to give it that extra attention. Rather, we should just strengthen our iman with result to that which is affecting us. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, it happens when you overeat, right? Some people, they overeat, they have very, you know, their sleep is affected greatly. Or if they eat certain types of foods which take longer to digest, right, their sleep state becomes affected greatly. I don't know if there's a scientific fact to this, but I've heard from people through their own experiences that they've noticed the pattern. So take this into consideration. If you have a habit of seeing dreams that wake you up, take into consideration what you have for dinner, right, whether it's gluten-based or anything, whether it's meat-based, and so on and so forth. Ala kulli hal, in any circumstance, this is what we can share with regards to dreams. One other thing, and I'm just relating it to a question that comes in, and that is istikhara and dreams. We've discussed this on Riyadhus Salihin before. A dream is not a requisite, right, for your istikhara to have worked. Right, so there's no real correlation. You can see a dream, you could not see a dream. Right? The reality istikhara is about feeling contentment in the heart. So that's it, my dear brothers and sisters. Insha'Allah, when we come back next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we will begin chapter 131, which is Kitab al-Salam, the book of Salam, and the etiquettes related to the Islamic greeting. Jazakumullahu khairan. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Until next time, may Allah preserve us all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, Sheikh Sajid, shukran for your time. Allah Rabbul Izzah reward you, insha'Allah.
Ameen. Ahsan Allahu ilaykum.
Amen.